save you. And what do we need saving from? Second one. Huh? We need savings. We need to be saved from? Say what? We need to be saved, girls? Giving up on Matt's question. Okay, giving up on Matt's question. To be saved from giving up. Okay, Matt's question. Okay, Matt's question. Sec 2. Church? God's judgment. Okay, very good. God's judgment. Thank you. Can you get rid of this? God's judgment. Okay? God's judgment. What is God's judgment? What is God's judgment? Aha, we all know. Yeah, but what's God's judgment? Bethany?
It's like whether you belong to the kingdom of God.
Okay, whether we belong to the kingdom of God. What happens if we don't belong to the kingdom of God? You end up with? What's God's judgment? Okay, if you're not part of the kingdom of God, you end up being? What happens? Sec 2? Guys? I need saving from? Does your faith in God save you from? Girls? Sec 3? Hell! Hell! Now, what's hell? Taking Chinese exam is hell. Going to school every day, that's hell. What's hell? You know, there are some people, there are some Christians in America, they don't believe in hell. You know, there was once this man, he told me that if I had a bad day, you know, I walked and my car didn't start. I went to work and my boss scolded me. And at the end, when I came home, I forgot to buy things. My wife scolded me. You know, that's hell to him. That's hell. Okay? So what's hell, guys? Sec 3. Matthew. I knew he wanted me to ask you, so. What's hell? I get hell from
Chinese class,
okay, yeah. Symbolically, yes, that's hell. But what's real hell?
Chinese.
The Chinese teacher? No. Higher Chinese, okay, that's hell. What's hell? See, maybe hell is not so real to all of us. Maybe one day we should go to Haw Par Villa. Have you all been to Haw Par Villa? How many? Okay, not the core members, all the others. Have you all been to Haw Par Villa? None of you! Only Yan Ning. None of you! She's been to hell and back. Maybe one day we have an excursion, okay? We go Haw Par Villa. Have you been? You've been. Have you been? Never been! Have you all been or not? Okay, we all go. Why not? I bring you all. We go there. And then we take a look at Haw Par Villa. Why not? Huh? Don't want. There's no Satan. There's no Satan there. You go there and take a look. These are the 10 chambers of hell or something like that. 7 gates. 7 or 10? 7, huh? Okay. Wait, maybe we go and take a look one day. We plan excursion instead of having barbecue. Huh? Okay, we go at night. And then we have barbecue at Haw Par Villa. Okay? So what's hell? Sec 4, guys. Joash. where Satan is. Okay. Girls? Death. Death as in? Spiritual death. Okay. Well, let's take a look at hell for a while. We turn to a passage in hell. Not a passage in hell, but a passage about hell. Okay. Turn with me to okay, hold on, huh? Turn with me to just give me a minute. Okay, I'm looking for the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. Luke. Ah, okay, thanks. I was at Luke, but okay, Luke 16. Thank you. There was a rich man and Lazarus. And this rich man, he had everything that he needed. What else? Lazarus had nothing. Okay? And so in verse 22, it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. Abraham's bosom is heaven. The rich man also died and was buried, and being in torments in Hades, okay, or hell, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Okay? But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you receive your good things, and likewise Lazarus' evil things, but now he is comforted and you are tormented. And between all this, besides all this, between us, you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. Okay? And it is a place of torment. It is a place of suffering. And that's real. That's hell. That's the real hell. Okay? Going for Chinese class is only a precursor to the real thing. Okay? And it's a place. It's a horrible place to be. No one should go there. But many would go there in the end. Okay? And so, does your faith in God save you from judgment or condemnation? And it's a good question for you to consider. Okay? And how do we find it? How do we find a faith that saves me from judgment? How? Must I come to Bethany Church 1,000 times, then I will be saved? What do you think, Justin? If I come every week, I come for YPG, I come for prayer meeting. Are you coming for prayer meeting? No, huh? Mommy won't allow, right? Yeah. We're going to start prayer meeting and Bible study this week. If I give $100,000 to church for the A&A, our renovation of our church. Do you have 100,000, Justin? Ryan, your daddy richer. No. Do you have $100,000 in your savings bank? Don't have. You don't know. Maybe you have. Okay, say for example I have 100,000. If I give towards the church $100,000, will I be saved? If I were to do things for the church, will I be saved? Okay, and the answer is no, you will not be saved. What is it that will save us? Well, what does it mean to have a faith that saves you? Okay, you turn with me to Genesis And in Genesis chapter 6, Genesis chapter 6, verse 8. Okay, and you can take a look at the notes. Okay, and I call this no faith in God versus faith in God, having faith in God. And there is a comparison between the world then and Noah. Okay? And there is a big, big difference. Look, the world, what happened? In verse 2, the sons of God saw the daughters of men, and they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. Okay? 6 verse 2. And here were, you know, so-called Christian men, and along the way, they got married to women, daughters of men, who became bad influence to them somehow. And along the way, they became to sin against God. In verse 5, and the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil and continually. You know, people kept thinking of doing evil all the time, again and again and again. They became very wicked. They did many horrible things. They did many sinful things. And the whole world was corrupted. Okay? In verse 7, I will destroy men whom I have created from the face of the earth. Okay? And so God was going to judge men, all of mankind. But in the midst of that, one person found a faith that saved him. And in verse 8, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Okay? And the first thing I want to talk about, what does it mean to find a faith that can save you, that brings about salvation? This person is a recipient of grace. Okay? Along the way, as he believed in God, he found grace. He became a recipient of grace. What is grace? Grace is you don't deserve it, yet God gives to you. You know, many, many times when I was in St. Andrew's Secondary School, you know, wow, I found grace in the sight of God. or rather, found grace in the sight of my principal. There was once when I was crossing the road together with Pastor Mark. This was a highway. It's called the, you know, that was first highway I think we had years ago, the Penn Island Expressway, okay, PIE. And I had to, you know, my neighbor would drop me off opposite the road. It used to be a smaller road, but now it has become an expressway. And so Pastor Mark and I, we used to cross the road when it was small. Now it has become an expressway. We decided that we'll still cross the road. And so we, you know how many lanes are there on the expressway? Okay, there are four lanes. So Pastor Mark and I, one early morning, we decided that we wanted to cross the road. And so we crossed. There were many cars, but we managed to go onto the island. So in the middle of the expressway, we wanted to cross over to the other side. Wow, my principal came along. His name was Mr. Harry Tan. And he was very angry. And he shouted at us, "Two of you, come to my office. You shouldn't be crossing the expressway." So, wow, that's it. So we did, you know, both of us, quietly, we had to turn back, cross back the road. Actually, I don't understand why we should cross back the road. We can just cross over the other side. We'll reach already, right? But he wanted us to cross back the other side. So we crossed over, took the overhead bridge, and then came down and went to the principal's office. How many times have you all been to the principal's office? Any of you all? None of you all. Wow, you're so good. No, I've been. Oh, you've been there, huh? Okay, good. So I'm not alone. I've been there a grand total of 5 times. Huh? But it was very interesting because the principal knew my father. Huh? It was very interesting. And I went to see him, and he said, whoa, he scolded us. You know, he said, you shouldn't be crossing the road. It's dangerous. Okay? I give you a warning. First time. Anyway, how's your dad? Then I started talking to him about my dad and then that was the first time. The second time I saw him, we went again, and he, you know, I did something not so good. And this time he said, wow, you scolded us again. And you know what? Again he was gracious. But you see, I took things for granted. And it's very easy to take things for granted. Okay? But you see, grace is something you don't deserve. Yet God gives to you. And you know, Noah was a recipient of grace. Do you understand? Noah found grace in the eyes of God. And you know, because he was a recipient of grace in the eyes of God, he was a just man. Verse 9. He was perfect in his generation. Noah walked with God. Okay? He had faith in God. He was different from the world. Can you see that? He chose to walk with God rather than with the people of the world. The world, they were corrupted. Can you see? Okay? So that's the first thing. He was a recipient of grace. Secondly, he had a reverence for God and His Word. Okay? Not only he began to have this, the fear of the Lord. Now let's turn to Hebrews 11. In Hebrews 11, verse 7, we read, so Noah, he had faith in God, he believed in God, and he found grace in the sight of God. Now, in verse 7, we read, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen. Okay, so God warned him. God warned him concerning, okay? He was warned, there was this warning from God, how the world is going to be destroyed. Okay? And we read, he being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household. Okay, so he was warned. He took this warning of God's judgment seriously. Do you all take warning seriously? If someone were to warn you of something, would you take it seriously? In India, there are a lot of warning that were, you know, in signs. Okay, wear helmet. Over there, you ride motorbike. A lot of people ride motorbike. Please wear helmet. Okay, but the people there don't wear helmet. They don't. So you have all these signs, but very few people wear helmet. Okay, there are warnings, but people don't heed the warnings. So here is a warning. A warning being... divinely warned of things not yet seen. So Noah began to take this warning seriously. If I were to warn you, if I were to tell you, that one day judgment will come, how would you respond? If God is going to judge the world as He did during the days of Noah, and one day in the future, God is going to bring that judgment, how would you respond to that warning? If your teacher tell you, okay, you know, Ben, what's your weaker subject? Maths. If you don't do your maths homework, you are going to fail. Have your teacher told you that before? No. Your tuition teacher? Oh, you didn't take tuition. Your daddy? No. Nobody has warned you.
No, because I still do my work.
You still do your work. How many marks do you get? You got a B. Okay. That's not too bad. Well done. What's your weaker subject, Justin?
Chinese.
What do you get?
A star.
Okay, anybody here fail anything? Okay, Camille. Okay, what do you fail?
Maths.
Okay. People have warned you already? Yeah, who has warned you? Your mom. Everybody has warned you lah. Okay, yeah, okay. This is the kind of student I want. Yeah. Everybody has warned you, right? If you don't do your maths, you are going to fail. Right? Have you failed or not? Okay, how many times have you failed?
Once.
Okay. So now, are you going to do something about it? Yeah, you're going to do something about it because... Did already. Okay, good. Same thing. If God were to say He warns us that one day we are going to be judged, all of us, the world is going to be judged, there will be 7 years of great tribulation on this earth. 7 years of great tribulation one day. Okay? It's stated in the book of Revelation. 7 years of great tribulation. How would you respond to that? And this is not even hell. This is hell on earth first. And if you die, if you don't have the Lord, you end up in hell. How would you respond to that? Okay? And so for Noah, he took this warning very seriously. Okay? Warning. He was warned. Number two, he was moved with godly fear, by godly fear. You see, what is it that we fear? You see, when you are afraid, it moves you. It causes you to do something. Right? What are you afraid of?
Failing.
Okay? And what are you afraid of failing? Chinese. Okay. So what does it cause you to do?
Work a bit harder.
Have you started working a bit harder? Yeah, okay. What are you afraid of?
Fear.
You're afraid of fear. You're afraid of fear. Fear of what? Harry Potter. What are you afraid of? Yeah. What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of, Bethany?
Chinese.
What are you afraid of? Ethan. Samuel. No fear. Chinese. Okay, how many of you are afraid of Chinese? Okay, some of you. Audrey, what are you afraid of? Birds. Okay, you're afraid of birds. So when you see a bird, what happens? You run away. Even a lovely pigeon comes down. No, that's worse. Okay. A beautiful sparrow. No, you still run away. You're scared of birds. Okay, Lorraine, what are you afraid of? I heard bear. What? Math. Okay, math. So are you working at it?
Yeah. Trying to. Chloe? The dentist. Huh? Humanities, okay. Literature and... Oh, I heard dentist. Yeah, you see, we're all afraid of something. When we're afraid of something, it moves us to do something. Right? It moves us to do something. You know what? For Noah, he had a respect and reverence for God's warning. Okay, when the warning was given, he was moved by fear, by a right kind of fear. A respect and reverence for God. He was moved to do something about it. You know what he was moved to do? He was moved to save his family. Can you see? He was moved to do something about it, to save his wife and his children and their spouses. You see, if you know that there's something that's going to come, and it's called judgment, what does it cause you to do? Tobias, if you know that God is going to judge this world one day, and it's going to come, first on this earth, 7 years of tribulation, and if that's not bad enough, you know, we end up in a lake of fire for all eternity. What does that cause you to do, Tobias? You really want to find that faith in God, isn't it? Are you scared? It is a good fear, because I had that good fear. Rather than, you know what? I don't care. I don't bother. Doesn't matter. I'd rather be moved by this fear. I'd rather be scared. And I was scared when I was young, when I was your age. I was scared of this judgment, because I didn't know whether I had this faith in God. But more than that, I sought to find this faith, and I also started sharing about this faith with my friends. I wasn't the best kind of witness for God, because you know what I did? I tried to scare people to heaven. I tell people, hey, you know what? You don't believe in God. You walk out on the road, huh? Then the bus come and bang you. Then you go to hell. Then how? Then my friend look at me. The bus is not going to bang me. Yeah, the bus is going to bang you. Whoa, then after that, they not go outside. You see, I wasn't a good witness for God. But my heart was in the right place. You know, I really want to. I scare people to heaven. Well, I haven't scared anybody to heaven. And most of them, they all get frightened, they get very angry. I still remember, you know, we were at a corner of the road. I still remember in Old Bethany one, I was standing there with my friend. And we were going to church. I was trying to witness to him. What happened? You take one step, the next step, the bus come, boom! Then you go to hell. Then you look at me. No lah, I'm not going to go to hell. Yeah, you are going to hell, you... hell is waiting for you. And you know what? I mean, I wasn't a good witness. But you know, I was just trying to help my friend. Because I was scared. I was scared. I was afraid that my friends will end up in hell too. Okay? And so I did something about it. I was moved by godly fear. Can you see this? Whereas, on the other hand, there was this group of people, the world. You see, what Noah did was that he went out to try to tell people about God. He became a preacher of righteousness. You turn with me to 2 Peter 2, verse 5. Okay? 2 Peter 2, verse 5. And we read. And how, okay, for if God did not, verse 4, it says, if God did not spare the angels who sinned, okay, all these are the fallen angels, the demons,
but cast them down to hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. And did not spare the ancient world. This was the world during the time of Noah. But save Noah, one of the eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing the flood on the world of the ungodly. A preacher of righteousness. So what Noah did was that he went, after he was warned, he began to prepare, he began to build the ark to save his family. And he began to go and tell people about God, about judgment, about faith. See, he did something about it. He went round and tell people. But did anybody listen? No. Besides his family, no one else listened. No one else had that fear of the Lord, reverence for his word, a respect for God. They didn't listen at all. And what happened to them? They all perished. Okay? And one of the things that you want to have, young people, teens, is to have this reverence, this respect, this fear, a good fear of the Lord. Can you see this? And so Noah went round and he began to preach. He was moved. He obeyed the commandment of God and he built this ark. You know how big the ark is? Have you all seen? Have you, any of you been to Hong Kong? You been to Hong Kong? Have you been to the Noah's Ark? You been there, right? You know, they actually built the whole, the actual size of Noah's Ark. You know how big it is or not? Okay, it's bigger than our church. Bigger than the length of our church. It's really huge. From far, you know, we were going by boat. And as the boat came to this place, oh, you see the ark. It's a huge ark. You know what they have? They have this, wow, they have many theaters inside. They even have a hotel inside. And they have a life-size giraffe and everything all inside. Not actual, but life-size. Okay? Giraffe inside. And just to show how big the ark was. And this was done by a very rich Hong Kong man. And that was his way of witnessing to people. It was very interesting. So I went in and, you know, first time I took, the theater was 4D. Not 3D, but 4D. So the whole thing got movement. Then got water splash on you. When the water flood the earth, water also starts splashing on me. And it was quite amazing. And you know what? It was his way of witnessing to people. It was not earning money. It was his witness. You know what? I want to do this whole big ark. And you know, he wanted to reach out to people. And along the way, got many rooms. You push the door, he goes to another room. Push the door, he goes to another room. And then, all of a sudden, they push you to one door. They begin to tell you about Jesus. Right deep inside. They have the Lord's Supper. And they begin to say, oh, this is Jesus. Oh, then he begin to share the gospel. You can't run anywhere, you see. Where to go? It's right inside. So many doors. Oh, so everybody got to listen. I say, well, this guy is smart. You know, it was his way of sharing the gospel. And you know, he spoke about judgment. Oh, very dramatic. One of many theaters, and one of the theaters, oh, the judgment, the whole thing, the theater began to move. Oh, amazing. 4D effect. I was moved. Moved by godly fear. You know, Noah did something about it. He reached out to people. Okay? He obeyed. He prepared the ark to save his family. Okay? A fear that leads to action. A fear that leads to prepare for the second coming of the Lord Jesus, of judgment. Okay? And so these are the results. The results. The world was condemned on one side. All destroyed by the flood. No fear. You see, when people have no fear, you know what happens? It's always too late. When the judgment comes, it's too late. When the water started coming, when the earth began to open up with, you know, waters
flooding the whole land, the heavens opening, and the waters came. Too late. Too little, too late. But Noah and his family, they were all in the ark, and they were saved. Okay? And so God imputed righteousness upon him. He was saved. And he saved his family. 1 Peter 3 verse 20. Let's turn to that. 1 Peter 3 and in verse 20. We read. In verse 20. Verse 20. Who formerly were disobedient when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah. You see, it's a very interesting phrase. The divine long-suffering. That's a reference to God. And you know what? God is very long-suffering now. Okay? He will bring judgment one day on this earth. 7 years of great tribulation. But He's very long-suffering now. He's waiting. Okay? He's very gracious. He's very merciful. He's waiting. He's waiting and He's waiting as best as He can. Because He's just holding on to that judgment. In the book of Revelation, there are angels withholding the winds of judgment that will come on this earth. Can you imagine? Angels holding. Once they let go, whew, the judgment will come. Can you see? And we read, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is 8 souls, were saved through water. They were saved. Because of one man's faith, Noah's faith. You see, maybe your parents doesn't know the Lord. Maybe you have family members who don't know the Lord. Maybe they are not saved. Have you ever thought about helping them to know about the Lord? Maybe you have friends. Maybe you have grandparents. Maybe you have relatives. Maybe you have friends in your class who don't know about the Lord. Have you thought about them? Have you tried reaching out to them? Have you done your part? During this week, I was away and I shared the gospel with this young fellow. There was an Indian guy from Bangladesh and he was working. He was illegally working as a cleaner. He was cleaning up my room. He told me, "Sir, my mother is dying from cancer. I came to this country. I wanted to go to school, but very hard. I have no money. I don't have enough money to pay for the school fees. Now my brother tells me my mother has cancer and I have to go back." You see, he can't even have enough money to study. And he has to go back, and what he's doing now is illegal. And he's trying to earn as much money to bring back to help his mother. And so I gave him some money. I said, "This is for you." He came twice to my room. And you know, I gave twice to him. The second time when I gave to him, he said, no, sir, you already given." I said, no, this is for you. Please go and help your mom." And I told him, "I'm a Christian. I'll pray for you and your mom. And I hope you can believe." And he said, "I'm Muslim. I also pray for you." That's what he said to me. But you know, I tried talking to him. And I tried explaining to him about love. What it means to love. What it means for Jesus to love us. And at the end of it, he was there. I bought some things extra. And I gave it to him. And he was so moved by that. I'm concerned for his soul. Have you thought about reaching out to someone who doesn't know the Lord? Have you? On the way to the airport, there was this Indian driver. And this Indian driver was telling me of how, he was driving this man to the airport. And as he drove to the airport, this Muslim man came to him and wanted to convert him, and so on. And wow, you know, people are doing, they're going all over the place converting people. How about us? Are we doing our part? Are we concerned enough? First, do you have a faith that saves you? And we can only be saved by grace. The verse that we just memorized. Therefore, being just... Okay, everybody, let's repeat. Ready, go. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Being justified. The word justified means God giving you righteousness. God being gracious to you. And you know what? If you have this faith, share it with others. Don't just keep it to yourself. Don't just think about yourself. Be moved by godly fear. What is it that will move you? What is it that will cause you to be deeply moved to do something? What? What is it that will get you going to do something? About first making sure you have this faith and reaching out to others. What will move you? You know, I was along the road in KL. You know what I saw? I saw a lot of people who were begging for money. Every road corner, there was a beggar. Now, some of them I know, you know, is a syndicate. Here's a man, two hands, two legs. He just sits there and he puts a coin, put a bottle there. But you know, I saw a man without legs. I saw a woman with a baby, with eyes that were not normal. And I gave. I make sure, every corner. So I make sure I had a lot of change. Lots of $1, $2. And I gave. There was an old man who came to me also and he asked for money. I gave him $10. That's only Singapore 3 ringgit. And I gave. And I gave and I gave. You know, sometimes I think, should I go and interrogate a person? Is this real? Are you false? You know what? I didn't want to. Because everybody who begs, I will give. And I gave. I gave quite a bit. I was so moved. I was so moved by seeing people begging. What would move you? What would move you to be sure of your salvation first? What would move you to reach out to your father or your mother or your brother or your sister who doesn't know the Lord? What would move you? Would a vision of hell, maybe tonight you go and dream, or you have a nightmare of hell, would that move you? What would move you? Years ago, there was a pastor who told me, if you want to serve the Lord, ask God for a vision of hell tonight. That's what the pastor said. Not our pastor, okay? This one was another pastor I heard. Go and ask God, give you a vision of hell. They're not sleep, man. But I was deeply challenged by that. What would move you? What would move you to reach out to others? But first, would you be sure about your own salvation? Make sure. This year, Tobias, this year, maybe you've been seeking, but this year, make sure. When I was in Sec 3, I found my faith real. Sec 4, it was confirmed. JC 1, I was baptized. I was very sure. 3 years, I was baptized. Pastor even came to me, Mitch, do you think it's time for you to be baptized, to be reaffirmed? My answer is, yes, Pastor. I've been waiting for you to ask that question. 3 years. 3 years, I was reaffirmed in my faith. JC 1, I still remember that. It was Easter. Can you be sure? Yes. Let this year, 2016, you be sure, 2019, you be baptized, you be reaffirmed. Or even better, 2020, special year. All of you, we all get reaffirmed and baptized together. Would that be wonderful? Okay, maybe some of you got to still wait for a while. 2022, wow. No, the year is not important, okay? The year is not significant, not important. What's more important is you be sure. You have this fear, this reverence, this interest. Okay? And from there, you can grow further. Okay, let's pray. Just close your eyes for a while. I just want to talk to you. You know, from time to time, you know, it's good to just think. Just think about whether you really are saved. You know, do you really want to be saved? You know, be sure. Take this year, take the whole year. Take this whole year to be sure about being saved, young people. Because one day this judgment will come. You don't want to be on the side where the world was caught off guard. It was too late for them, and they all perished. They were all condemned. You want to be on the side of that few lives, Noah and his family, where they were all saved. 8 souls. You know, young people, your soul is precious to God. Your soul is far greater than anything there is in this world. Don't lose your soul for anything in this world. And your soul can be saved. Your soul can be saved if you were to ask the Lord to save you. Therefore, being justified by faith. If only you believe, you can be justified. God can put this righteousness in your heart. And you can be saved for all eternity. And you can do something about your life. You can reach out to others who need the Lord. Don't you feel anything when you see your friends and they don't know the Lord? Or your father, or your mother, or your brother, or your sister whom you love very much, and they don't know the Lord. Are you going to do anything about it? Or are you just going to sit there and watch them perish and go to hell? Noah didn't. Noah did something about it. He built the ark to save his family. Will you do something about it too? Would you pray? Would you try reaching out? Start thinking, ask your core members, how can I reach out to my father? How can I reach out? Will you ask them? Will you be moved with godly fear as Noah was? Our Heavenly Father, this afternoon, Lord, we know how serious your warning is, how you have warned Noah of your judgment, and your judgment came and the world was destroyed. Now we also know, Lord, that there's another warning, a warning of judgment on this earth, of 7 years of great tribulation, and ultimately the lake of fire. Lord, we pray that you will help us to find grace in your sight. Be gracious to us. Help us to find faith in you. And we pray also that you will help us to be moved with godly fear, that we will do something about reaching out to our loved ones and our friends. We pray that you will move within our hearts. Though we may be young, you can still do a work in our hearts. So I pray, dear Father, for your grace upon all these young people here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, let's give our offering.